This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Frank Fontana. I'm back from a little bit of a hiatus. Had a Father's Day thing my wife planned for me and surprised me, which was pretty awesome. So I missed that day. And then last week, I had a bellyache. Poor me, Dave. Poor me.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the headphones in this producer studio, but you know what? I am glad you are back because
thank you, man.
Today we got a show and one of those Frank's favorite. We definitely have to have you here for this.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm back and I'm going to be here for the next, 20 years or so every Sunday from 1 to 3. Happy pre-4th of July, folks. We started our celebrations a little early yesterday. We've been shooting our TV show and it's going great. Busy, 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 but good busy. So we had a day off, and my wife and I and the Colonel, our executive producer, joined us for a cocktail, as well as the brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Katie and Paul. We had a nice little downtime to kick off the holiday weekend. Unfortunately, my wife's not feeling too good this morning, Dave. You can imagine that we had a few drinks. I'm not going to lie.
You know what? That's what 4th of July is all about. Barbecue, party, celebration, so we can all feel better on Tuesday, because normally nobody works on Monday, right? But
no,
hey, you have a downtime.
She does not feel better today. I can tell you that.
Is it called hangover or is it called week?
It's called you're no longer 20 anymore. It's funny because she thinks, you know, she'll probably be listening. She'll kill me when I get home. But you know, she before she started drinking, she's like, oh, I'm going to drink everybody on the table. I'm going to have a good time. You know, the kids, don't worry about it. You know, we finally got a babysitter. We went out. Literally, for the first time in probably 8 months.
That's what it was in. She felt relieved.
It was relief. It was like relief from the show, relief from shooting every day, just letting her hair down.
You guys are filming 6 days a week.
Pretty
How are
much.
You doing that, Frank?
Dude, it's, you know, some days are sporadic where we can, you know, shoot for 4 hours, then we get a little bit of a break. But some, you know, we've been doing demolition. We started 8 homes that we're filming in a matter of, let's say, 4 months with our full-blown construction team. And, you know, when you activate 8 homes in 4 months, there's a lot of work to do.
Yes, a lot of
there's
planning.
A lot. Like, if you took on one home renovation in 4 months, is a lot of work.
A lot of people think it's only what they see on camera, but it obviously takes a lot of pre-production, pre-thinking, pre-brainstorming.
Oh, my God.
It's nerve-wracking, and it drains your brain as well.
Just doing it off television is difficult enough. Imagine a camera following you around the whole process, and we really have to deliver a product at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike other TV shows where it's just like, hey, you pop in, and you're like, oh, let me design a room, and then I leave. This is, we're taking on contracts. We're going, knocking walls down. We're putting full-blown extensions on houses. It's crazy, man.
Are we going to find out when we could see the show?
Well, we just saw a little sizzle reel that's internal. It's a private thing that was sent to the network, and it looked killer.
What network? Can you say it?
I think I could say the network. I just can't say the name of the show just yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, I got to wait just in case somebody's listening.
Oh, okay.
But it's a major cable network with a lot of viewers. Khloe Kardashian had a show on the network and still airs.
Hint, hint, hint.
Google.
Was Chelsea on that network as well?
Not Chelsea lately. Chelsea is on a different network, but our show, there was Snooki had a show on this network.
Oh, I have an idea.
There's going to be another celebrity having a show on this right around ours. Alyssa Milano is getting a show on this network. So it's a booming brand new network.
So we got to stick to Frank Fontana's social network to find out about this.
I've been trying to post pictures. It's tough, man. I mean, when you're working really in the grind, and so you can't just whip your phone out, pop a couple selfies off and go right back to work. So we got to catch up. I got good pictures. I just haven't posted them yet.
The thing is that you get very distracted. Sometimes I try, when I'm covering a news story, I try to post a picture and then I misspell or like.
I'm the worst.
Because you're trying to type so fast that you don't even notice these type of things, right?
Well, did you ever try talking to your phone? With Siri. If you have an iPhone, or you know, most phones have a voice command option. I've been getting into it. One of my partners uses it and he's phenomenal at it. It's like, Siri is his girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous. He speaks to her like he's in love.
Yeah, alarm for 11:47. And it'll,
not even, he'll like write a full-blown like message to somebody and be speaking it into the phone and it comes out perfect, better than I could ever type it.
You know what? I'm afraid of Siri because you know how iPhones or phones in general are making you illiterate. I don't remember any phone numbers, so I try to avoid Siri because then I'm not going to be able to do anything without Siri.
Dave, if you or I were stuck on an island, we'd be screwed. with a cell phone that went blank, that worked, but we didn't remember anybody's number. What a tragedy that would be. I bet most people out there don't remember. You know what? Matter of fact, text us 312-981-7200 if you just completely don't know anybody's number anymore. I'd love to get a head count on that.
I know this number here because I'm looking at it right here on the speaker.
I memorized this number before anything. I could tell. We could call into WGN from our remote island with our phone with no names in it.
Maybe. And if there's a Wi-Fi.
Depending on the show, of course.
Yes. There's a great show today, Frank, so welcome back.
We do. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. We do have a great show today. Coming up at 1:17, we're talking to the guys from Green Build Homes, Jason LaFleur and Brian Imus. Talk about some sustainable ideas for hooking up the home. Got some cooktops, some fresh air systems, and things like that. We also have the full list, by the way, of 4th of July shows that are happening in the Chicagoland area. But here's the thing on that. Every neighborhood thinks they got the better fireworks display and party.
It's like Battle of the Best Fireworks Show.
Battle of the Boom, we're going to call it. Whose neighborhood, or even if... Yeah, see, where I come from, New York, originally. I'm a Chicagoan now, but in New York, it would be more neighborhood, like block by block. They would challenge each other to who can light off the most fireworks, put on the biggest display between, you know, neighborhoods. And I, at one point, was living in Howard Beach, New York, where the famous John Gotti lived. And if you ever know the history of the 4th of July with the Gotti family, it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. So our neighborhood always won because John Gotti was doing the fireworks.
And now every
no one would question him, if not, because they end up dead.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, so, definitely everybody feels good about their hood, basically. No?
Sure. Like,
we have the best fireworks. I would like to know which area has the best fireworks.
Yeah, give us a call, 312-981-7200. Defend your hood. Do you put on a better fireworks show than the neighbor, than the other neighbor? Ooh, maybe we can make it neighbor to neighbor. We'll get it both on the phone and do a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be responsible for an entire section of LaGrange blowing up. It's all your fault, Dave. This was Dave's idea, by the way. I'm just putting that disclaimer out there. All right, and then we're going to talk about why Americans spend 115 hours searching for shows on television. Do you sit there endlessly and just rifle through those channels?
Well, you're not going crazy.
You're not, because the rest of America is doing it. And it could be the fact that there's 900,000 channels that are available to you, if whether you're on direct or cable. Well, we'll learn more about that and these statistics as we get into the show. We're going to learn how to do a perfect picnic. If you think you're good, we got a guy who says he's better. He's a chef who's going to show us what to bring tonight when you're going to that hillside fireworks show and you want to pack the right stuff. We're going to have a chef come on. He's got some suggestions and what you should always bring with you, including bug spray. Don't eat it. Spray it. 217, we're talking this new product, Frank's fave. I like it. It's called the Hot Logic Mini. And for tonight, like when you're out at the festivities, looking at the fireworks show, and you cooked an amazing meal, and you want to bring it with, but you don't know how to keep it warm, this product actually acts like a mini storage warmer. So it's perfect for an evening like tonight, or any picnic for that matter. And then our good old goodbye girl, Judy Pilak. That's right, Judy Pilak, the famous goodbye girl. I'm so honored to have her blessing our show.
She's great, by the way. I've seen some of her videos on WGN Plus.
Hello, goodbye girl.
Yes, yeah. She's done beachwear from beachwear, and now she's preparing one about
she's
outdoor.
She's in beachwear?
How to get the best beachwear for a very low cost.
Was she modeling it too?
Actually, yes.
Really?
WGNplus.com.
Wow. You're going to see those ratings just shoot up right now on that website. Mm-hmm. Judy Pilak in a bathing suit.
But today's outdoor entertaining ideas.
And Judy is quite the designer. She's like a closet designer. She hooked up our green room over here. I was too busy or too expensive.
At a very low cost, by the way.
Yeah, very low cost. I think she used a lot of stuff from Goodwill, reclaimed, repurposed stuff. It looks cool.
It looks very vintage, very
If you ever
nice.
Get lucky enough to be a guest on our show or any show here, you get to see our little green room here. It's cute. Right? Full of history. And once again, we have our full list of 4th of July shows, and we have some nonsense in between. It'll be a fun show. Why not, right? I hope you guys are out there getting your party on. It's that weekend.
America, America,
this is our finest hour.
Well, at least the next 2 hours will be. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on the 4th of July weekend. Happy, happy 4th to y'all, folks. Hope you're having a good time and being safe out there. Don't blow any fingers off. Although, I almost did one time. I still got all of them, though. All right, we're talking to two really interesting cats. Jason LaFleur, managing building scientist at Eco Achievers, and Brian Imus, executive director of U.S. Green Building Council. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on this holiday weekend. I'm sure that was tough getting away from the family, huh?
Always, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you think coming down here Sunday's worth it.
It's always fun to talk about green homes.
It is. Well, so why don't you tell us, tell us about the green home tour that you got going on.
Sure. So it's the Green Build Home Tour, the fourth annual tour that we do to give homeowners a chance to experience what the latest trends in products and services and design features on what makes a home more sustainable and green, and see what they could do in their own home.
Interesting. And is it still as prevalent of a thing to do? It seemed like 10 years ago, it was like, oh my God, the boom of eco homes. It's happening. Everybody's talking about it. The media is jumping on it. And then like 5 years later, it kind of just and like fizzled down. At least people stopped talking about it as much. Is this true? Do you feel that?
I think that you're seeing actually an increase in the interest in healthy homes.
Yeah.
And a green home is a healthy home. It makes sure that the building materials don't have toxic chemicals in them, for example. So that's the trend we're seeing, and that's why a lot of people doing renovations or building a new home are interested in finding what those products are, what builders can do to help them to make their home healthier.
Sure, and that's where Jason comes in, right? Your job here is really to test and find out that whether the builder is using the right materials. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do for them?
Sure. Well, I mean, ultimately, a green building is something where everything comes together to deliver the best possible environment possible for the people that are in there. So it's something that's energy efficient, it's resource efficient, but it's, as Brian said, healthy aspects are an important thing, especially for the place that we all spend each night in.
And is it expensive? Because this is the thing, as a designer, I get this a lot. Like, oh, I love these eco elements into my home. And then I tell them some of the price tags on some of these things, and they're like, maybe not so much.
That's actually one of the biggest misconceptions that I think the home tour helps people overcome. We have 14 homes over the course of the weekend of the Green Build Home Tour, and they all come in different styles, different price points.
Do they all have to be modern? I mean, because you always equate eco-friendly to these like ultra-slick modern homes. Is that true still?
Not at all. You'll see it on the tour. You'll see renovations of old bungalows. You'll see brand new homes built in different neighborhoods and different styles. So you'll see this sense that when you walk through, it looks like any other home.
Yeah, it's something that much like actually what Jamie was talking about with the choosing a grill, it's really about how the building performs, not necessarily how it looks. So we might have some aesthetics that do appear modern, but certainly more traditional, conventional, even historic preservation can be a fit with green building.
And talk to me about that, because we're doing that for our television show we're shooting now. We are making over homes that are from 1950 and older, and we have a couple that are 1800, 1890. These are old Victorians and bungalows and Frank Lloyd Wrights. Mm-hmm. What materials could we be considering right now as we're in this renovation phase to, if the prices are the same, if drywall is matched drywall to drywall and there's a more eco-friendly version of drywall, how do we get a hold of it?
Yeah, there's certainly definitely options out there, and renovating is a great opportunity to implement some of the things. A lot of green building technologies go on behind the wall. And whether that's the insulation or the air sealing, very important, especially in an older building, or even the mechanical systems that go in and making sure that people get fresh air delivered throughout all rooms of their home. It comes down to control. We want to control the environments better. We want to control the heat flow. We want to control the air quality. And you can do so in a way where you get trade-offs where some things might cost more, but maybe that's eliminating a cost somewhere else and making it attainable for everybody.
Now, it's you mentioned air quality, and this is really a big deal with older homes. There's mold issues. There's dust. There's plaster and lath. Excuse me, I'm choking right just thinking about it. And we've been knocking down a lot of walls lately. And what's released in the air, we're finding lead, which is a big deal. when I speak to contractors about this, they always say, Frank, an older home is better than a newer home in the terms of breathing. And I'm like, what do you mean? There's mold, there's dust, there's all these things I just mentioned. And he said the way the homes were built, where they were not meant to be sealed tight as a lot of these contractor-grade homes that are built now. They're literally built so tight that you walk in and the toxic fumes from the elements that are put in the home, like the flooring, the walls, is being trapped, and the house doesn't have any venting. You know, I laugh. I got, like, you know, bird holes in my old 100-year-old Victorian home on the roof and the peaks and stuff, and I'm like, should I go plug those up? And one of my contractor, old guy, does a million homes, said, no, that's your house's way to breathe. I'm like, really? Isn't water going to... No, even if it does, it's okay. It's the way the house back then was meant. Is this true, guys?
Well, I want to dispel the myth that houses need to breathe, because really the buildings don't need to breathe. Ultimately, we do. People need to breathe. We need to make the buildings and design them in a way that the systems come together to allow the building to dry out if it gets wet. And so there's a lot of big evolution in the way that people are handling technical things like vapor barriers to make sure that the houses can dry out. But ultimately, we want to make sure the air quality is superior. And that's what's nice about a lot of these homes, giving the people the chance to go in on the Green Belt Home Tour, walk into a home. We hear comments all the time. People say, I don't know what it is, but this house just feels better.
Yeah.
Because a lot of contractor-grade homes don't have the attention to air quality that we see in a green home.
Right.
So they might be built semi-tight, but they're not doing anything to help ventilate it right.
Fascinating. Interesting stuff. We got to take a quick break. We're going to keep Jason LaFleur and Brian Imish with us to talk more about green homes. Guys, do you have the skinny on some new products coming out too? Like, what are we going to see in some of these homes that are really going to rock people's world? Don't answer that. Thanks, Dave, for that quick little warning. We're here having a conversation about breathing and eco-friendliness. We're going to hit the news in a second. We're just talking a little bit about some products. Do you guys believe there's a product I install called Easy Breathe in my house? And you put it into the basement, and it's a system that actually sucks air out on a constant basis and literally goes up and out the side. They drilled a huge hole that vents the entire system. I mean, you guys, does that, I don't know if it's actually eco-friendly.
Well, sure. It's certainly something that's going to affect your air quality. I'd be a little concerned without knowing a little bit more that you might be pulling, if you're making your basement and depressurizing it, you might be pulling soil gases. And there's pockets of Chicagoland that have radon gas. So I'd be a little bit concerned about making sure that's not an issue.
Hold on, talk to me about this. What is this, pocket gases?
Well, there's, you know, radon is the gas that is underneath everywhere in the earth, but there's areas that have higher concentration levels.
And if it settles in the house, it's potentially dangerous, correct?
It's coming up from the ground, and it wants to
through the concrete?
Yeah, through cracks, through holes, through any penetrations in your basement.
So this product was originally designed to help basements dry out quicker. If it's a new poured basement floor, concrete, the company would use it originally to suck air out. But then they realized, hey, on a constant basis, this is filtering out bad air that would potentially get into the HVAC system and then through the house.
Yeah, and if you've got something that's sucking air out of the basement, it's making it easier for those gases
to rise,
potentially to come in. So, like, actually, my 100-year-old house that was on the Green Belt Home Tour last year, we ended up bringing fresh air in and pressurizing, pushing it into the basement to help mitigate anything coming through the ground.
Yeah.
Making it smell a lot better than most basements do.
Fascinating.
What's so fun about the Green Belt Home Tour is the docents giving you the tour as you walk through the homes are the builders and the architects and the product designers who can talk to you about exactly how the products are working and why they use them.
I want to hear more about this. And folks, if you want to chime in on the conversation, 312-981-7200. If you ever dreamed of having eco elements in your home or about to take on a renovation and want to learn what ways you can make your home more eco-friendly in the process, give us a call, 312-981-7200.
It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. Happy 4th of July weekend. We're here having fun in studio right here on Michigan Ave. The Magnificent Mile's looking hot right now. Tons of people walking around getting ready for the fireworks display. Navy Pier's having a huge one. Dean Richards will be there, as he told you earlier, giving you the play-by-play. Hey, if you ever wanted to have an eco home, or check this out, how about a zero energy home? I got two guys in the studio saying you could do that. And they're going to explain what the hell a zero energy home is. That's the first time I'm hearing about it. 312-981-7200 is the number if you have any questions, or you can text them at the same number. Jason LaFleur, Managing Building Scientist at EcoAchievers, and Brian Imus, Executive Director of U.S. Green Building Council. Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time this week, and I know that you have better and bigger things to do, like barbecuing and stuff like that, and drinking.
It's always nice to talk about green homes.
Even on a Sunday.
Yep.
I mean, always. This is the time to do it. So tell me about a zero energy home. This is like the first time I'm ever hearing about this.
So
what does it mean?
So one of the big trends that we're seeing in green homes are homes that generate more electricity than they use. And there'll be several homes on the tour that have been third-party certified that make that
Explain
happen.
Explain to me. Give me a for instance, because I'm following you and I love it, but how? Is it like when I flush the toilet, it creates energy? What's
yeah,
happening?
First it starts with the way that you design and operate the home so you're reducing your energy use. And then second, it's about installing some of the new technologies that are out there, the proven technologies that actually help you to generate electricity for your home. Solar panels, geothermal, wind, and there are examples of all of that on the home tour this year.
So it's not like a treadmill hooked up to a battery charger and you're running your butt off for 20 minutes to recharge the house.
That's a great
idea. That is a great idea.
We should incorporate that into the tour next year.
Boom, let's do it. The Frank Fontana re-energizer. That's what we'll call it. I love it. All right, cool. Zero energy. Google it. Check it out. Let's talk about some of the new innovations in the industry, starting in the kitchen. And I guess this can trickle over to bathrooms as too, is countertops. What are we seeing in the eco space that's really coming to the forefront?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that it seems the market's sort of shifting away from some of the natural stone products, and maybe that's a result of some of the maintenance and care that those products, you know, the ceiling.
We're referring to like granite, basically.
Yeah, granite, marble, exactly, things like that.
Although I got to say, I'm a huge fan of marble.
It's a very nice product, but you got to it takes care.
And, it does.
And increasingly, people's lives are so busy that they don't want to do. They want maintenance free homes.
Yes,
let's just call it a spade a spade. Performs.
Lazy people are getting getting lazy. I mean, let's face it. Hundreds of years ago, they didn't worry about whether they're I don't even know if they had marble back then, but it was probably existing in a rock somewhere. But you know, it's like work was part of the fabric of who we were. Now it's like let's create as least amount of work as possible. There's some pride in home ownership. There's some pride in doing things yourself around your house, don't you think?
Yeah, there certainly is, and that's tends to be exemplified, especially with the homes on the Greenbuild Home Tour. You know, there's a lot of love and care that go into these. So, I mean, to your point about the counters, some of the products we've seen people installing more frequently are maybe more of an engineered stone, like a quartz countertop, which gives a nice maintenance-free finish, or even. There's a product called Paperstone, which is recycled paper that's compressed so hard. It's like a soapstone product.
Really? Oh, I'd love to see that. You got a name of a vendor that we can throw out
It's called Paperstone.
That's the name of the company.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've seen a Silestone as well. It's popping up a lot.
Right.
A lot of requests for that as well as the quartz is real big. We do have some questions, guys, coming in on the phone line. Let's grab what we have Mark calling on. Hey, Mark, happy 4th of July weekend. What's your question?
General, doing a remodel here on a bathroom, some other areas, but I think I'm pulling out some old things that are not going to work for us anymore, like vanity, just cut a full sink and a toilet, things of that nature. I'm concerned about just having that going back into a fill. I mean, what are some of the areas, number one, where I can take that, where it probably can't be reused? I'd like to know more about how I can do that instead of having it all materials just get dumped into a fill, and then just other areas of what I could be using that might be a little bit more green for my bathroom. I mean, traditional tile that we're looking at and traditional materials, glass, porcelain, and ceramic, things of that nature. But, I mean, I would welcome your suggestions as we're just starting out on the project.
Sure, we'll let Jason take a crack at that.
Oh, there's a couple items going on there, Mark. And I guess first of all, in terms of diverting things from the landfill, I think that's a great goal. And there's actually been a whole industry pop up of basically rebuilding in destination centers.
Isn't Rebuilders Exchange one of those?
Rebuilding Exchange in Chicago. There's the Evanston Rebuilding Warehouse. There's Reuse Depot in Melrose Park. And then there's a whole network of Habitat for Humanity reuse centers that all will, and those are throughout the suburbs in the city, that will all accept material donations from remodeling and renovation projects. And
they also
great places to go find things,
too. They kind of sift through that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it's not if it's like a vanity, you pulled out the cabinet, you know, they'll accept that, and you get a tax donation receipt for it.
To what value? If it's does it depend on the age of the product or?
Yeah, that's something that's going to you got to claim fair market value on your taxes.
So if Mark's going to be reinstalling some drywall and he wants an eco-friendly option, what should Mark use?
I really like, there's a product made by CertainTeed called Air Renew, and this is an interesting drywall material that will actually help absorb some of the formaldehydes that might be off-gassing from things as small as construction adhesives all the way to furniture, MDF board made with a lot of formaldehyde glues, and that's one of the big issues that came up last year a couple of times.
Well, we're going to talk about that in depth in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But Mark, any other materials or areas that you'd like to see eco products swapped out for?
Well, I think the big thing too is the drywall and the cement board. I know that cement board is kind of recommended, but I don't know if there's another process that should be followed instead of just typical. Swapping out the green board and using cement board, especially if you're doing some of the heavy tile. Again, any suggestions that you can help provide to us, that'd be great.
Moisture resistance is the key thing you're looking for in a bathroom, especially. And so if looking at moisture-resistant drywalls, of course, is a part of it. There's even paperless drywall options like a magnesium oxide board, which is it's a healthier version of your typical like Duroc, because it doesn't have the silica dust that might be disturbed when you're cutting it. Might be something to look at. Mag board, magnesium oxide board.
And what's the cost? What's the cost differential between?
That's pretty comparable to Duroc, actually.
Okay, all right,
great. And is there a website we can give out to the folks listening that would have this? Because would it be readily available?
It's not readily available. There's some specialty distributors. I actually work with one called the Evolutionary Home out in Geneva. You could also go to greenhomeguide.org. And if you're looking for assistance, actually the Green Built Home Tour site, which is greenbuilthometour.org, has a directory of qualified professionals.
Actually live in Geneva. What's the location in Geneva for that organization that you mentioned?
Yeah, the Evolutionary Home is at 200 South 3rd Street. In Geneva.
Okay, great. That's great.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it. Good luck with your project.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Happy 4th. All right. That's cool, man. There's a lot of good information here. You touched on something about off-gassing, and that's a huge, huge topic. There's major lawsuits going on right now. Lumber Liquidators is wrapped up in a major one right now for flooring and the off-gassing of a flooring product made out of China, correct?
Correct.
So what is the latest on this, and is this a major issue people should be concerned with?
I think it is an issue because we spend, if you think about it, the average person spends about 90% of their time inside of a building, whether it's work, home, or some combination thereof. And so we're definitely breathing in this stuff all the time. And so the Lumber Liquidators issue in particular, first emerged in spring of last year, and then they did a follow-up report. They were still having problems with the flooring, still continuing to off-gas. So it's And that's just one example. There's lots of furniture products people buy that come into their home that might be doing the same thing. So we try to help – we try to promote taking a precautionary approach with the homes that are on the Green Built Home Tour and thinking how can we help mitigate some of these pollutants that are coming into people's homes, especially if there are people that aren't opening windows as much. One of the phrases that we use a lot is the solution to pollution is dilution. Right?
I like that. It's a fun. I'm going to get that tattooed on my back. And it's kind of a cool thing.
Basically, what we're trying to do is bring in a lot of fresh air from outside and almost like having a controlled window open that goes into the HVAC system and then distributed throughout all the rooms in the home to help change the air over and make sure that anything that might be off-gassing gets replaced with better, fresher air.
Fascinating stuff, guys. So where can people get tickets for this tour, and when and where is it going to be?
Sure. So the Greenbuild Home Tour, you can get tickets and more information about where the 14 homes are all over the region at greenbuilthometour.org.
Is there going to be organized times for each home, or it's kind of a free-for-all, just go to the homes whenever you can get there?
You go to the homes whenever you get there, and then there's guided tours by either the builder, the architect, or the homeowner who can answer these questions and many more.
And it's $20, I think, for a two-person pass, so you get to all the homes for the whole weekend for $20. It's a pretty good deal.
Most importantly, does each homeowner make cookies and give out glasses of wine?
Oh, that's another good idea.
See,
we
just incorporate. Come to me. I have good ideas. I can tell you, food, free food and beverages always kills it. It brings them in no matter what.
For sure.
I can tell you that. Sure. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming down to the show. Jason LaFleur, Brian Imus, thank you guys. A wealth of knowledge. I learned something today. And I hope you all listened and did too. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue with the show and learn why Americans spend 115 hours searching for TV shows. It's ludicrous.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. God, I forgot about that song, Dave. Brings a little tear to my eye.
Especially around this time, you know?
Yeah, I just want to stand up on this radio desk right here and lift my mic to the sky and say, thank you, America.
Is that the alcohol speaking still?
It probably is. I'm trying to get it out.
How are those cucumber margaritas, by the way?
Ooh, so we got put on by some cucumber habanero margaritas last night with a little Patron back.
Nice.
It should have stopped at 3. It ended at 5.
That definitely must make you sing then.
It makes me sing. It makes me proud to be an American.
Yes.
An Italian-American, that is.
Watching TV?
Watching TV right now. As a matter of fact, millions of Americans are watching TV right now. Good transition, Dave. And we want to know why they're spending 115 hours each year just searching for shows. Joining us on the phone is the CEO of Real Good, David Sanderson. Hey, Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy 4th of July weekend to you.
Same to you.
Crazy statistics, man. Explain it.
Yeah, I mean, the simple answer is just what you said. People are spending all this time just trying to decide what to watch. It's like over the course of our lives, it's almost a year that we spend just trying to get the content that we actually want to watch. I think it's just getting worse and worse. There's more streaming services coming out, more and more shows, and it's just hard to decide.
Well, and you'd think the idea was, okay, people only had at one time 7 options, let's say, or 10 options, 13 maybe.
Right.
You know, and life was simple back then. And then they're like, no, people need more. Okay, so we'll give them 100 channels. Now there's like how many thousand channels out there? I mean, crazy amount.
I mean, it's gone crazy, yeah.
So it's become quite the problem, obviously, if people are spending 115 hours. How do we fix this? Like, this is some sobering statistics, man.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a few ways. The first is we find out about stuff that we want to see. Like a friend will recommend a movie, or we'll see a trailer that looks cool. But then it's like, you know, come that Friday night or whatever it is where you're trying to decide what to watch, you don't remember. And then you're back at square one doing that, like flipping between all these different things. So, you know, just a way to keep track of the things that you want to see and then also see what your friends like. Because I think that's how a lot of us decide what we're going to watch. It comes from, you know, a friend or family saying, hey, I've been watching this. It's really good.
What about things like Netflix and Hulu? Sorry to cut you. I'm just thinking. I'm jumping forward going, okay, all right. There's a million different channels. But what about these on-demand platforms?
So that's kind of a more modern frustration that we're having. You know, just as you know, more and more cord cutters are coming about and we're flipping between. We've got most people have, like the average American has multiple subscription services. So when you're trying to decide, you go to Netflix and you see what's there, and you go to Hulu and you see what's there, and you got to go to your Amazon Prime, you got to flip between all of them.
So it really doesn't help. I mean, this is what
Not really. I think it gets more and more kind of split up, which just makes us hop between these different platforms. Like the analogy I give is back in the day when bookstores were a thing, you didn't go to like a Random House bookstore, then a Penguin bookstore, and you don't go to different publishers. You just went to a bookstore and decided what to
read. Barnes and Noble.
Decided what to read, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so now in my house, we have Xfinity, Comcast, and I think they do a pretty good job. But I think in most houses, you tend to watch the same, let's just say, 10 channels, right? I mean, mm-hmm. my son loves Animal Planet. He loves Nat Geo Wild. Disney Junior, but basically all my son's watching and my daughter. That's all we really program our television to. My wife and I do not get to watch television. And when the kids are asleep, we're barely functioning at that point. So we'll watch a movie or two. So, you know, in a way, it's almost like a waste to have all those channels, but I like the idea of having options.
Right.
So I see where this can get tricky, because I wouldn't want to kill it all, because on the days that I would surf around randomly on the you know, one-off chance that I get an hour or two to watch a show, my programming goes right to some kind of home improvement channel.
Naturally,
right? I just wonder, like, this is, for me, it's another thing like staring at a phone all day or staring at another screen all day. It's another way that technology is sucking away our time.
Sure.
So what do you guys do at Real Good? I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, ironically, I think I hope technology is going to be the one that solves that problem. We're just a group of people that got tired of dealing with this, flipping through, trying to decide what to watch, so... I left my job at Facebook about a year ago to launch the company, and right now it's an iOS app, and it helps you keep track of the stuff that you want to see and see what your friends like. And more importantly, what our people have really loved is you can tell it, hey, I have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, whatever. What are the best options for me across everything? So you don't have to have flipping. It's just basically like, what should I watch right now?
Interesting. And so how new is this app for you?
We just launched 5 months ago.
Cool. And you left Facebook for this. Are you like, what level at Facebook? I'm curious. Are they scared? Or is Zuckerberg shaking his boots right now?
I mean, I think they've got some big fish to fry with, you know, providing internet to the entire world. the launch of Oculus Rift. Excuse me.
That's right.
And, you know, creating a social network to connect everyone on the planet.
Yeah.
But, I think this is a supplement. I mean, we use the Facebook login, and there is our social element of it. But,
so your goal is like in 3 years, 3 to 5 years, you get that call from Zuckerberg and he's like, hey, I want to buy that app. Yeah, I know you left the company, but here's a gazillion dollars because the app is so successful. That's the out game on this whole
thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. And would you sell out right away or would you hold out?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we're all pretty passionate. Like a couple of the engineers came from Popcorn Time. I don't know if you know it, but...
Tell the folks what Popcorn Time is, because it's one of those, like, is it legal? Isn't it legal? Like, what? How do they get the movies and stuff? Like, so what is Popcorn Time?
Yeah, so Popcorn Time was, they basically took torrenting, which is a way that people could illegally stream movies. And they knew it was kind of only technical people could do it. Like, people that were pretty tech savvy could actually, find these things. So they built kind of a Netflix interface. So you could just go on and watch any movie at any time with like one click of a button. They've obviously, unsurprisingly, been shut down more recently. But what kind of attracted to me them originally, and some of the couple of lead engineers, was that I saw an article one of them was in where he was saying they weren't doing it to really make piracy easier. They were just frustrated with the divide between these different content providers like Netflix and different things. And it was like, they're like, we just want to watch a movie. It should be easy to watch a movie.
I agree. That makes sense. Makes all the sense in the world. And I love what you guys are doing with this app, because I want to make my TV watching experience better and less time consuming. So how do people download the app, Dave?
Yeah, so we have our first version. It's on the iOS store right now. So you just search Real Good, R-E-E-L. And coming soon, we're launching our Apple TV app, so that you don't even have to use your phone. You just, when you sit down to watch, you open up your Apple TV, and it's, here's what you should be watching.
Boom. That's great. And we'll post this information on our WGN radio page. Dave, thanks so much, and have yourself a fantastic 4th of July. Hey, we have a prize to give away. We want to know whose neighborhood does the best firework display. If you think yours does, give us a call, and you'll win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Yeah, call in 312-981-7200. Text in, defend your fireworks show. We want to hear the best one, and the best one will win the Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Ooh.
That's great.
You like
because
that?
I'm getting hungry
like
right
my
about
deep
now.
Voice? Hey, folks out there, how's it going? Happy 4th of July to everybody walking downtown. Look at this. This is great.
Everybody looking good today, right?
Everybody's
showing legs,
good,
showing
man.
Some abdomen.
Show abdomen. Where do you see an abdomen?
Some abs. Oh, a little while ago, I
see
saw
a
some
serratus
abs.
Somewhere. I see a glute. I see a calf. I like that. You just call out the abdomen.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Dave.
You know what, Frank? Before we go to the news, we just got a letter here for the Frank Fontana Show.
Is it a good one?
It's a very good one. It's from Seth Chandler from, remember the Gelato World Tour that we had in here? Well, there's
the
thinking,
Rocky Road. And oh, yeah, I mm-hmm. do remember it well.
Yeah, 78,000 served, 9,000 pounds. They're very grateful.
Of gelato eaten in that weekend.
In 3 days.
In 3 days. That's a heck of a lot of gelato.
And they're saying, Frank Fontana, thank you for your part in this.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, thank you for coming in and letting us taste that fantastic gelato. I'm glad it all went well. We do have calls coming in, folks. Just stand by. Dave is going to get to you guys, and we want to hear why your neighborhood fireworks show is the best and the funniest, coolest, whatever, you know, craziest story will potentially win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Frank Fontana.
Hey, that's me. I like how that just cut out like that. Welcome back to the show, folks. This is the Frank Fontana Show. We're here till 3 o'clock, and we're talking about how to pack the perfect picnic and just in time for the 4th of July and all these great events happening around Chicagoland. By the way, that news was sponsored by Indiana, a state that works and a state that sells a lot of fireworks and has a lot of strip clubs. I found that out because I drove through New Buffalo, Michigan last weekend. Sorry about that. That wasn't part of the advertisement, but just a little observation. Todd Stein, a corporate chef at Four Star Restaurant Group, is joining me right here. Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm good. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fantastic,
great.
Man.
Beautiful day, huh?
Why are you here? I would imagine you'd be cooking your butt off.
Right, you know, I'm here instead. It's more fun. You got to get out of the building a little bit and see the sights, but... You know,
I'm sure all of your places are busy right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Today's a very big day for us.
And for the folks who don't know, I mean, not that many people don't know about you guys, but Four Star Restaurant Group, why don't you tell us about it?
So 13 years ago, our company started with one restaurant on the corner of Clark and Wrightwood. It's still there today, Dunlay's on Clark. We have 9, soon to be 10 restaurants. Remington's, which is one of our newest restaurants, is on Michigan Avenue right across the Bean, from the Bean. Mm-hmm. You know, there's concerts in the park and movies in the park, and we figured what a better way to help people out and pack a picnic basket for them that they can take across the street and eat.
And you brought a couple with you. I like the whole kit and caboodle. So you go there and so you pre-order your elements.
Yeah, you can pre-order it. You can come into the restaurant and we'll put it together. But you can order it from our website, pay for it on the website, and walk in, pick it up, and go across the street. We want to make it easy for you.
Can people do that like right now?
Like literally right now. Yeah.
And here's some of the things you could do. So if you're going out tonight to watch the fireworks in a park somewhere, mm-hmm. this is a brilliant idea.
Absolutely.
So the picnic baskets themselves, and Dave's Miranda, our producer, is taking pictures to post on our page right now, are these like really cute like red and black baskets with metal handles that look super
adorable.
And
they're insulated.
Is that part of the deal? They get those?
Yep. So you can get the basket. You can not get the basket, but why would you not want to get the basket? Who doesn't want the basket? And then the next time around, so we charge you for the basket, but then if you want to refill it, it's obviously less the next
time
around.
Beautiful.
But, you know, all year long.
And some of the things you can get on this picnic menu from Remington's, meat and cheeses, a chef's selection of 3 artisanal meats and cheeses, nuts, compote, bread accompaniments, and 2 non-alcoholic beverages. So is this something we should address? So,
oh, no. We'll do wine and beer, too.
You'll do wine and beer?
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
And that's Remington's obviously has a takeout license. Great.
Yes.
Then the traditional picnic. These are options, right? They couldn't mm-hmm. get all of this. Traditional picnic is 2 sandwiches or salads on a side and non-alcoholic beverages.
Mm-hmm.
And then small bites, 2 from our snack and dips. So they could pick. So on the bottom of this little menu, and this is on your website
this
right
now? This is all on our website, remingtonchicago.com.
But yeah, go ahead and hop on remingtonchicago.com. If you're in and around the Chicago area and you're like, oh, God, I don't want to go home and pack a bag. I don't want to go home and pack food.
This is
awesome. And then you can send an Uber over to the restaurant,
right.
pick up the picnic basket.
Right.
You don't even have to leave your house.
Right, and we'll drop it off to you.
Boom, ultimate lazy.
You can have a picnic in your own backyard.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. Do you guys deliver to LaGrange by chance?
For money, you can have anything you want.
Exactly. All right. For enough money, you could. I like some of the snacks and dips here. You got trout dip.
Yep. Smoked trout, cream cheese, mayonnaise, spread it on crackers. It's awesome. A little sliced green chilies.
What do you got for your guacamole? I always like, I'm a guacamole fan. What do you guys do different to your guacamole?
We don't use avocados. No, I'm kidding. you know, we make it probably 2 to 3 times a day. It's very simple, but it's that great combination of avocado, onion, tomato, chili, and so on. And it's just the perfect balance. But what I find so great about guacamole is when that avocado is perfectly ripe and it's nice and icy cold and creamy.
If I'm at the store and I'm in the avocado section,
right?
Walk me through as a head chef for a major restaurant.
So I pick it up and I hold the round bottom part towards the back of my hand. And then the chunky butt end. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I like that. I'm using that. And then I squeeze it slightly and I like to have a little give, not almost, if you were going to compare it to a tomato, because there's, you know, some tomatoes are round and soft. Aroma tomato, it's just a little hard, but it's got that nice give. That's what you're looking for in an avocado. And the great thing about avocados is if at the store they're underripe, you just leave them out on your counter or put them in a paper bag with a banana. It actually works. And let them ripen for a day. But I don't like to put them in the fridge.
So when avocado's slightly browning, is it still good to use?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just squeeze a lime on it. I mean, obviously at the restaurant, we want it to be absolutely perfect and vibrant green.
Yeah,
at home, you know, you make guacamole and you have some the next day, eat it up, man.
So there's a fine window, I find, between that vibrant green to slightly getting into a
murky brown.
A murky brown.
Yeah.
How many days do you have in between, usually?
A day plus, probably 36 hours.
That quickly, huh?
Yeah. And they'll start to go even sooner. You know, it's that balance of acid and salt that hold it together.
You can't really pre-make guacamole. It's got to be on the spot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, ours, because we sell so much. We do it in batch, so as we keep going throughout the day, it never has that opportunity to turn that color. Yeah. But, you know, the great thing about it is that at home, let's say you got guacamole from us, and you're like, oh, I didn't eat it all at the park. I'm going to take it home. Take the next day, spread it on some toast, have avocado toast. You know?
I put avocado on everything.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
It's replaced mayonnaise for
me. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's healthier.
It's healthier. It tastes better. It's more versatile.
So what's in the Wrightwood salad? And I'm going to ask you about the kale salad because I'm a big kale fan.
Okay.
And I always find it so difficult to get kale right.
Uh-huh. Well, let's start with the Wrightwood. How about that? Okay, so this is the dish that is on all of our menus and all of our restaurants. It started at Dunlay's on Clark. It's a salad with lots of goodies. This is a biggie.
Kind of like a garbage salad?
Yes, but... You know, less garbagey.
kind of, but not really.
You know, it starts with beautiful garden mixed greens with some green cabbage and shredded carrots. So you get some texture going on. Everything about a salad has to be texture. We put rotisserie chicken right off the rotisserie.
I like it when it's pulled like that.
We pull it. It's warm. It's delicious. It doesn't have time to really melt the salad. It just gets... It's warm salad and a chicken is a great thing.
See, I like as a chef, I mean, and you probably hate the fact that I like a warm salad too. Like, I don't mind my...
No.
If a spinach salad especially, I don't mind it wilted a little bit.
Right, absolutely.
If you're using like an iceberg or something, that could get a little weird.
Sure.
You know, but even then, I'm okay with it.
You know, it's like warm salads get these greens, cold salads get these greens, and they work well together.
Yeah.
So anyways, the Wrightwood, it's got craisins and tomatoes and avocado and goat cheese and corn, toasted almonds. We make homemade cornbread and just to make croutons. Mm. So we make the cornbread, then we toast it.
How does that taste? A little bit of sweetness
so
to
good.
That?
So good.
I never thought of that. Yeah. Use croutons for made out of cornbread.
Yeah.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, make cornbread and have it, you know, the next day make croutons out of it. And then we have this amazing citrus vinaigrette that dresses the whole salad. And it's about as perfectly balanced as a salad can get, as loaded as it is. But it's texture and richness, and it's so
good.
Do you
pre-toss the salads? This is one of my pet peeves.
No.
You don't?
No, to order.
I always prefer. What I mean is, like, if I'm ordering a basket.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go straight to the event.
Right.
I don't want to. Can I request that it's tossed when I pick it up?
Absolutely. You can have it tossed and dressed, or tossed and undressed, dressing on the side, and do it yourself.
Yeah. Because I like to just open it and eat.
Yeah.
I don't want to fiddle with the containers and
absolutely.
I got to shake it.
You know, I look at it this way. You're paying for it. Have it the way you want it. We're more than happy to give it to you that way.
If you want soggy salad, by the time you get there,
Call us 8 hours in advance and we'll make it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Then it's slop at that point.
Kale salad.
Kale salad. Tell me about
it.
Okay, so I want to do it right, but to me it always ends up bitter. Is there a secret?
Multiple secrets.
Ooh. Get your pens out.
Let's talk about our kale salad, and then I'll talk about other kale salads.
Okay.
Ours is awesome. You know, when you go to the grocery store, there's so many types of kale. Tuscan kale, curly kale, red Russian kale. We use plain, basic green kale.
And that's what it's like, just basic.
Yeah, it
kale.
Says green kale.
Green kale.
It's flowery, it's leafy. It's the perfect for chop. We chop it really fine. That's the key to it, in ribbons.
Mm-hmm. Do you take the bone out?
Yeah.
That center?
Yeah. So I don't personally like to buy, like, you can buy kale already washed and chopped in bags, but you have that center part, that bone, that's just
giant.
It's too chewy, and it's grassy, and it gets stuck in your teeth. So
you can use it like a toothpick, really.
Right, absolutely. Floss when you're done.
Right.
And then we Napa cabbage, because this is kind of slightly Asian-y. Carrots, grapes for sweetness, red grapes, and they're really, like, obviously we don't go to the grocery store and shop for the restaurants, but like grapes that are in the grocery store right now, they're really sweet. They're really good. And then we make a roasted peanut dressing that has peanut butter and peanut oil and so on and so forth. And so you have this beautiful shredded cabbage, and then the grapes for the sweetness and the fat and richness from this peanut butter dressing or the peanut dressing. And it really goes well with the kale. The great thing about the green curly kale, as opposed to Tuscan kale, it doesn't have that lemon, as much of that lemon bitter flavor that a lot of people notice, like or don't like. And I think to play it with these kind of ingredients, that's the perfect kale.
Brilliant.
Now, if you wanted to just take that same kale at home and dress it in a little bit of lemon and olive oil and herbs, or ranch dressings, great on kale.
Yeah.
You know, any of those things, awesome.
So the bitterness doesn't play out?
No. Especially when you have rich, fatty dressings.
Interesting. This is fascinating stuff.
We could talk about kale for all day.
We really could. We're talking to Chef Todd Stein. I appreciate you coming by. Unfortunately, we're running out of time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Again, let's give the website to Remington Chicago. It's Remington's with an S, chicago.com. And just what can they ask for when they call?
Anybody that answers the phone will be more than happy to help you if you don't want to do it on the web. I want a picnic basket to go. If you don't know anything about our picnic baskets, we'll walk you through the whole thing top to bottom. If you know exactly what you want, we'll take your order. And then, you know, give us an hour, 2 hours, and come pick it up.
You rock, man. I appreciate
awesome.
You coming on Sunday. And
thanks
I appreciate
for
you bringing some baskets.
Oh,
I'm
going
to be chowing down in a
come
second.
Come on, my
here.
Mom would be terrified if I went home without feeding you.
I love that. I love that. Is she Italian? Or
no.
She? No. All right.
Okay. Jewish. Same
Jewish.
Thing.
Same thing. It
right?
is. Same thing. All right, folks, we'll be right back, and we'll be talking to, let's see, who's up next? We got, you would like this chef. This is the Hot Logic Mini. So if we had hot food from you guys, not only would we get it from Remington's, but we would put it in this little Hot Logic thing that is like a mini heater container deal that's brand new on the market. So we're going to talk about
cool.
that. You can hang out and listen
I
if
might.
You want.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on the 4th of July weekend. All this heart-touching American songs. I love it, Dave.
Happy 4th of July to everybody. I know especially the students are happy because they're on vacation and their parents are also enjoying themselves on Monday. And there's a lot of outdoor activities this weekend, especially with the perfect weather.
There is. And we were just talking to our chef here, Todd, who's still in studio hanging out. He brought us some amazing food. Chef Todd Stein. We're keeping with the food theme here. Hey, folks out there, happy 4th of July to you. We got this new product on Frank's Fave, which we usually play our little Frank's Fave theme song, but we'll let it go for today. And it literally, it's like, I guess, let me just have Jake explaining exactly what it is. Hey, Jake, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Frank?
Good.
Happy
4th to you. I'm actually holding one of the personal portable ovens in my hand as we speak. Why don't you tell the listeners about it?
Sure. It's a soft-sided tote that can cook, reheat, and hold individualized meals. It's perhaps easier to tell you what it can't do other than tell you what it can do.
Yeah, let's start there.
So basically, we take anything like farm fresh or frozen or from Slack or prepackaged. So it has a patented plate on the bottom that recognizes what the meal is, and we add energy through a wall plug very gently into the meal. So, for example, we bring things from Slack or frozen or wherever the state is the meal is up to 165 degrees, which is pathogenic but safe, and we hold it at that temperature until you're ready to eat.
So if I'm bringing my meal to work with me, and I have it in the tote, the warming plate is actually part of the tote itself. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yep.
Interesting. And so you do have to plug this in. Does this stay charged?
No. It operates off the 110.
Okay. So when I get to work and I want to heat that food at the right temperature, I just plug it in. How long does it take to heat up?
Well, it depends on where the meal's coming from. For example, if it's a frozen meal,
It takes about 45 to an hour and a half to bring up to thermalization of 165 degrees. So the paradigm shift is kind of like slow, low and slow. And we only provide enough energy to bring it up to the 165 because we don't want to burn off any nutritional value of the meal. So, for example, if you go to work, plug your mini in, and by lunchtime or whenever that time is, it comes time to your break, you have a hot, delicious lunch without waiting and hassle-free.
I love it. Like, you know, every invention is driven from a reason, a source. What was your reason for creating a product like this?
Really, the hassle associated with a hot meal in the workplace. Essentially, everyone's waiting about 5 to 7 minutes to have a hot meal, and a lot of people don't bring a hot meal. They bring a brown bag because they want to have the convenience. And, you know, statistics tell us that about 15% of America spends their time in the work watering hole.
Yeah.
And if we can get that back, if we can save an average American 5 minutes every single day, that's an extra 40 hours of their time back to them.
Well,
the Hot Logic Mini, if you take a look at that, the paradigm shift is it's a set it, forget it, Ron Popeil claim that. And we know we believe that with the Hot Logic Mini, with any kind of apparatus you want to put in there, you can cook anything that you wish.
That's amazing. I love the technology. And then you guys also have a couple of different products here. You have a Hot Logic Mini as a couple of older siblings. Why don't you talk about it?
Yeah, sure. We have the Hot Logic 400, which is really for business industry as well as a hybrid for the home market for family style cooking, if you will. And then we have the larger cabinets, which is for congregate feeding areas such as break rooms and assistant care, hospital, hospitality, those kinds of environments. And
are those full blown ovens though? I'm looking at the picture. They look kind of like warmers or. Interesting.
So what we did is we basically morphed. We're serving about 1.5 million meals today, and we morphed that idea into the Hot Logic Mini. So basically, I took that tray that's inside there and put it into a soft side of tote. So the integral software portion is there. It's a little bit dumbed down, if you will, and it's a great little device. We do offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on it, and people absolutely love it.
So this is great. So this is taking that idea on the road, basically.
Yeah, you know, truck drivers, people that are cramped for that time, construction workers, truck drivers, flight attendants, those people really find a lot of benefit in terms of what we're trying to provide them, the outlet that it does provide. So,
now, are you guys, it comes with a Pyrex bowl. Are you guys partnered with World Kitchen and Pyrex? Or is this?
Yeah, we're a wholesaler for those folks, as well as we have some other meal prep containers right now on our website called FitPacker. Where you can buy an assortment of packages, so mm-hmm. kind of like reusable and disposable containers, where it has a little divider, so your frozen chicken breast, the juice is being retained, so it sits in its own pocket instead of mixing with the vegetables as well. So there's different variations and options, as well as we offer an inverter on our website, too, as part of a package. So if those people that are going down the road don't have a regular 110 outlet in their car, they're able to plug in an inverter, be able to transfer the power to DC.
That's a sweet idea. I was going to ask you, can you get it mobile? And that's exactly the
oh, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Because I could, when I long trips, I like warm food. I'm not like a cold food kind of guy, especially on my salads. I want warm chicken. Or my sandwiches, I want them to be, you know, warm. So if I get like a cheese, like a grilled cheese, this won't necessarily cook it to melt, right? It'll have to, have you tried that? Like if it's in there long enough, will it actually melt cheese?
Well, absolutely, yeah. Again, 165 degrees. If we were to take a look at what 165 does for us, one, it's pathogenically safe zone. Two, it's an environment where things do melt. What the best part about Hot Logic is that we don't go past the burning point. So, for example, 218 in the lower 48 is boiling, so we don't boil any of the moisture off. So, for example, if you did chicken, it'd be like if you did it in a broiler. It'd be very moist. It would be very plentiful. You'd be able to cut it with a fork. In terms of cheese, it would melt. It almost turned into a little bit of a soup over a long period of time. So,
fascinating. Yeah. It's cool stuff, man. I love the inventions. Yeah. Keep them coming. Jake Weisner, owner of Hot Logic Mini Oven. What's the website for people to find this product at?
It is hotlogicmini.com.
Hotlogicmini.com. Is there just this one size that you guys have?
Right now, yeah. We have some things in the workings right now where it's going to provide us a little bit larger platform. We're working on our patents. That would be traditional from the Mini and
scale it forward. So
I could see this with like a tray of lasagna.
Yeah, a little 9x13, right?
A little 9x13. You get an hour drive over to grandma's house. You pop that baby into the lighter plug over there, and you cook that thing all the way through. You show up with a fresh, hot, big ziti. Oh, man, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, stay tuned. It's coming.
It's coming. I love it. Jake, have a great 4th of July weekend. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me. Thank you, too.
Boom! Look at that. Exactly 2:30. You know what that means, Veronica Carter, that after you're done, the goodbye girl, Judy Pilak, is joining us. You excited about that?
Yeah, she's got some great deals, I bet, because usually at this holiday type of weekend, things go on sale. So Judy is the queen of sales, too.
I can't wait to talk to her. And we got some food down here, by the way, a little 4th of July party going on. So when you dump the news, come on down.
David just told me that. We will be down and bring a plate and a fork.
We'll start our own 4th of July party here
right?
in the studio.
Okay. And there is a bottle of wine that he brought in and a couple IPLs. So the party has officially started in the studio.
Wow.
Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. I hope you're out there and enjoying yourself and having a safe one. Keep your fingers all intact. Use those fireworks, although they are illegal. Right, Dave?
You got to go and enjoy them. There's a lot of free events all over the city.
That we'll talk about in just a few, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love your transitions out of the music. It's just like so smooth and just kind of floats right underneath.
We have to, especially on this 4th of July weekend that people are enjoying themselves. Maybe gardening, maybe eating. How's your chicken going?
Chicken's good. The food from Remington's, right, is
yes.
fantastic.
How to pack a perfect picnic basket.
It was great. Chef Todd was amazing. And now we're going to learn how to decorate perfectly with our very own Judy Pilak, who's got some fantastic ideas. She's the goodbye girl. Hey, Judy. Hey, Judy.
Judy, she's probably having some wine herself or something because it's 4th of July. Oh, there she goes.
Hello. There she is. Hey, Judy.
Hello, I'm here.
Good to hear your voice.
You know what, David? I can have wine and talk at the same time.
Oh, I bet. Well, happy 4th to you.
You too, Frank.
What's going on? What are you doing for the big weekend here?
Oh, well, I am actually having a big party tomorrow. Well, not so big. Not as in past years when I had these blowouts, because I happen to live across the street from my town's fireworks display. So as you can imagine, everyone comes to my house now.
Well, lucky you, I guess, right? Or maybe not so much?
Yeah, you know, it's okay. Best seats in town. I mean, towards the end of the evening when the fireworks are about to, you know, be displayed, it's quite crowded. But before that, I usually host some people for a barbecue. So this year, I thought I would trick it up a little bit, and instead of using, you know, kind of those big buffet tables, the folding tables you put out everywhere and everyone sits around and eats, I am actually going to make it more intimate with, of course, everything I bought at Goodwill, including a coffee table. So I'm going to do the more intimate seating with, you know, put all the chairs around under the tent, but I'm going to have like maybe one or two coffee tables out. So we could just kind of, you know, sit around, drink and talk and even eat, because really it's not such a big deal to eat at your seat.
I love that, Judy, honestly, because I'm all about more of a lounge seating in when it comes to parties than I am formal sit down. I just feel like when you're stuck at a table, and it's usually a folding table with folding chairs that everyone, you know, come to a party, it creates a forced environment, in my opinion. You got to sit next to people, but in a lounging environment, it's more chill. It's more like, hey, let's sit around the coffee table. So I love that idea. And I love the fact
that
you're all about repurposing, reusing, and reinventing old stuff. It's right up our alley.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the coffee table, I did buy at Goodwill a couple years ago. My son graduated from college and brought it back. But, you know, it was $4.99.
Crazy.
So, yeah, and what I do, you know, so I think ahead. I know I'm having a party, so I know what I want to get. And then, you know, if I don't have room for it, I just donate it back to Goodwill. And I'm out $5, but really, that was the $5 I put to really good use. So, yeah, everything you need, you can get there. I mean, tablecloths, glassware, plates. You know, if you really wanted to go a little bit more elegant and use glass, you know, you could go get all your wine glasses, your martini glasses. Still have those outside. If they break, well, not such a big deal because it only costs 50 cents.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they also have plastic. They're really nice plasticware. But same with the plates. You know, if you don't want to do paper, well, go to Goodwill and buy. They're usually about 50 cents to a dollar each. You know, so say you need 10 plates, you can get really cool plates. They don't all have to match, as you as a decorator knows.
Oh, for sure. And that's a huge trend. And a little known secret, Judy, you know Soho House here in Chicago?
Yeah.
It's that fancy, cool, super hip restaurant, hotel, bar, you name it. They got everything in there. Well, guess what? Do you know that they go to Goodwill? Their place settings, they like to do this like farmhouse chic, so it's super random place settings, exactly what you're talking about. And here's this uber, you know, high-end hotel here in Chicago who uses your philosophy and our philosophy, for that matter, to mix and match the plateware. And it turns out to be a great talking point.
Oh, and it looks great. And I think, you know, a lot of the decorators say, try to have like a common theme, maybe the same color pattern,
sure,
or, you know, something like that. But yeah, I think anything works. And you're right. It looks so cool. And it's just, it adds something to your table. Everything's not matchy-matchy.
Yeah. And you know what? And I like the idea that, you know, if you're going to go spend, let's just, you know, a big party place, $7 for like paper dishes, you know, a stack of 150 or 200 of them, let's say, you could literally take that same money and get great quality service ware from Goodwill and really make a statement, in my opinion.
And you know what I did one year? I did that. I bought a whole bunch of plates, had a great dinner party. It was fabulous. And then afterward, I used those plates as a border in my garden.
Explain that. I got to hear this.
So I actually stole this from some house I saw in Florida one time. So, you know, like you have a garden on the side of your house. Instead
right.
of getting, you know, bricks or a little fencing, I use those plates.
Hmm.
And I put them in the ground up, yeah, and all different kinds, all different colors. And, yeah, it was very festive.
So it's like a half moon. Like you're burying half the plate and
right.
the rest sticks out.
Half the plate.
That
and really
so
not
charming.
Even half the plate. Yeah, just maybe the bottom quarter of the plate. Yeah, and you just put them, space them, and yeah, it's really cute.
Perfect way to change the house every season.
Totally. You could do
yeah.
Christmas plates. That's a great idea, Dave.
Absolutely.
So Dave Miranda, our producer, filled me in on another little garden trick you do using some Goodwill finds. He said something about turning a lamp into a bird feeder or something?
Bird bath.
Right. Yeah, this is my newest thing, so I haven't done it yet. I have everything, though. Every time I go, you know, film the Goodbye Girl once a month, I see a lamp, and of course I go to Goodwill like every other day. But when I see a cool looking lamp, and again, they're generally $4.99. And you know, lamps, I feel like people when they clean out grandma's house after she, you know, goes to the great beyond, they just get rid of all the lamps. And those are cool older lamps, you know, with
sure.
the big glass bases. So, yeah, I have some lamps, and they're probably about, I don't know, maybe 3 feet high, maybe 2 feet, 3 feet. And I take all the electrical off, just, you know, snip the wires, no problem, take everything off. And then you get some kind of a bowl. The only problem is if you're going to get a glass bowl, you've got to then be able to, you know, cut a hole in it, which I know they do have.
You get some glass bits,
and they have a little glass device.
Right.
Or to make it even easier, though, you know those glass lights that every new house comes with are just flush to the ceiling.
Yep,
flush. Just, you know, it looks mm-hmm. like a bowl. Yeah, those are great too, and they're just everywhere at Goodwill because they already have a hole in them. So you take that, you turn it upside down into a bowl, and you put some kind of a bolt in there. I haven't really figured out how I'm going to do this yet, but I think a bolt's going to be the way I'm going to do it. And then you screw it in, and now you've got this fabulous base lamp. That used to be a lamp with a bowl on top, and you can use it as a bird bath or a bird feeder, or just put it in your garden and put a plant in it.
So, I mean, do you just spend your days walking the aisles of Goodwill thinking of all these crazy concoctions? Because I know I do, and I love you for it. I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, you know what? No, I usually have something in mind when I go there, but a lot of times I'm there, and I mean, I don't usually come up with ideas there, but when I see something I know I can use and is going to repurpose, I get it, but my rule for the past 2 years has been I don't buy anything I can't use because I used to be a collector and I antiques and all that. Now I have a smaller house and I just, you know, I don't want to have stuff sitting there. If I love something, though, I will buy it and I will try to use it somehow.
So is your garage stock full of maybes?
Not too much, not too bad, because I've been sticking to my rule. So I do have those lamps in there, so that's my next project. I've got to get out of there. So, but no, I usually use everything. And you know, this year I really wanted to go crazy with the candles. So at Goodwill, it's just chock full of any kind of jar you can imagine.
So sometimes, Judy, and maybe you could shed the light on this, I walk the aisles and I see things that are like kind of new in the package. Do they have special deals with some retailers that if it's overstock or if it didn't sell in a certain quarter?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Target's a big, I know Target donates a lot, so I see a lot of Target stuff with the tags still on them. So yeah, they get, you know, they have too much after the season, or I don't really know what their deal is. Yes, they get a lot of new clothing items, especially, and other items. And I don't know for sure, but I feel that maybe they even purchase some. They probably get a great deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get a thousand of something, and then they resell them. But even those items that are brand new are still such a deal.
Agreed.
It's crazy.
It is one of my first stops. I'm dead honest. When I'm doing a design, and it's a very eclectic design, and I'm looking for just a random piece to put in a room, Goodwill is absolutely one of my first stops. I mean, hands down.
It should be. Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, the our green room there at WGN that I designed.
I know. I was promoting it. I was saying what a phenomenal job you did.
Well, and thank you. And I mean, almost everything is from Goodwill. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous what you can get there. You can get a beautiful, I mean, gorgeous, you know, 1950s buffet for, you know, $12.
And with a little,
you can't go wrong.
And if you don't like the finish, a little bit of spray paint, some chalk paint even, you'll make that thing turn into $1 million piece. I've done it a million times. I mean,
absolutely.
A little creativity with some of these, because they're really, what I find when I pick up furniture from Goodwill, it's actually really well made, because back in the day, they made furniture right. They didn't make it
exactly
to be cheap cardboard imports from Sweden. You know, it's
right. Like I said before, when you're, you know, people are cleaning their, a lot of times when people are cleaning out a home that they're going to sell, and they want to get rid of everything, they just drop it off at Goodwill. And I mean, I get the best stuff there. I mean, so well made. Yeah, none of this cheap stuff that they make.
I've picked up like Herodon pieces there, and like major, like expensive stuff that, you know, if you're not in the know in the furniture world, you're like, you stumble onto these and you're like, oh my God, this is like a $5,000 dining set, and they're selling it for $300, you know?
You know what? There are too many people like you now going to Goodwill, because people in Goodwill knows it too. So they will price things that they're, you know, that they know are collectibles or antiques. They'll price them a little bit higher still. Such a great deal.
I've noticed that.
It is amazing. Yeah, they have these jars they do. They take a jar, pack it with jewelry, and then they sell it for $100, $150. People wait in line, so the minute they bring it out, it's snapped up, because in that jar they know they're going to be antique rings, or, you know, real gold or silver. So yeah, they're getting smarter.
Cool. I love it. Judy, you're awesome. We got to have you back on pretty often to talk about this and any new finds.
Anytime.
Good stuff. Judy Pilot, the Goodbye Girl. Judy, where can people find more information about Goodwill?
Well, they can go to WGNradio.com for the Goodbye Girl. You can also check me out on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and lots of good information there on Goodwill. It'll just link you up to the Goodwill page as well. And Goodwill has their own page, Amazing. I think it's called AmazingGoodwill.com. Yes, I should know that, of course.
Awesome.
And you can get great tips there, and there are stores everywhere. So
great, Judy. Thank you
happy
so much.
Shopping.
Happy Fourth to you.
Thanks, you too.
All right, we'll talk soon.
So we're showing the independence from high prices. That's what Judy had said. That's what I love. She's like, we're going to show your independence from high prices.
I feel like we did that.
Yes, we did.
That's good stuff. We're going to have to take a break, Dave, and we're going to come back and talk about where the coolest fireworks displays are around Chicagoland and some other little nuggets of information regarding 4th of July. It's 4th of July weekend. We're almost done. We're going to be until 3 o'clock. I'm Frank Fontana. Coming up next is the guys from The Beat. They still here this weekend, or they take off?
I think they're here. I saw one of them here.
I don't see our usual sheet that says what's happening this weekend, but I'm assuming they're here because I'm here. All right, so there is a lot of stuff going on this weekend, as you probably already know and have planned for. A lot of people in from out of town to go to Navy Pier for the huge fireworks display that WGN will be covering. So you can tune at 9:30, I believe it's 9:30. Dean Richards, our very own Dean Richards, will be there doing the commentary, the color commentary on that. Been there many years. It's fantastic. My wife used to actually work at the pier. She was a director at the amusement side of things. So I was able to experience that many, many times.
So you had the VIP treatment there, I take
it? Oh, yes. It was great. And I've done it enough that I don't need to do it again. Not with two little kids. Not happening. We'll be at, tonight we'll be in LaGrange for the city of LaGrange. Village of LaGrange has a little firework display. And then there's a party in Burr Ridge. We'll be popping over to Burr Ridge, which is the Walker Park at 7425 South Wolf Road. And we had people call in earlier because we're giving away Lou Malinati's gift certificate to let us know what their whose neighborhood does the best fireworks. And we have Joan who's joining us to tell us why her neighborhood fireworks are the best. Hey, Joan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th.
So tell me, where do you live and why is your neighborhood throw the best firework display?
Well, I live in Oak Forest, and it's the fireworks is done in, we have 5 days of Oak Fest. It's a carnival, it's bingo, it's tents with multiple bands,
wow,
different shows, and then the climax is the fireworks tomorrow. And everybody comes from all over to see it. It's super crowded. They have to have policemen all over directing traffic.
Sweet.
Because it's such a big one.
I've never heard of it, but 5 days of fantastic events and all culminating to the big firework finale sounds like a tough one to top. Let's see if John's neighborhood. You want to put him on hold, Dave? You put Joan on hold. Let's grab Kathy, Joan. I'm sorry. And then let's see what. Hold on, don't go anywhere, Joan. We're going to see what Kathy has to say, and you two will battle it out for the best fireworks.
Okay.
So we got Kathy. I think we just lost Joan, but Kathy, hey, you're on with Frank. While we get Joan back.
Hello, happy 4th.
Happy 4th to you. So tell us where you live and why your neighborhood does the best fireworks display.
I live in Evergreen Park, and we do a parade. This was the 48th year having a parade. They closed 95th Street down. We have a whole bunch of fire trucks come from all over. We have bands. We have everything. We have a grand marshal.
Who's usually the grand marshal?
It's all different. It could be a war veteran. It could be anybody, something that's happened in the news. And it's pretty nice. It's pretty cool. So they do this every year. Ours was on Friday. And we're a small community, but we welcome everybody. And then after that, they start the parade at 6:30 so that it kind of gets dark as, you know, after the parade is ending. So that then you can walk and go right to the neighborhood in Duffy Park. And you can sit and you can put a blanket out. And it's a neighborhood park with a neighborhood school. And it's just, we welcome everybody. It's a neighborhood feel. You get to meet your neighbors that you haven't seen in one quadrant or the other. You meet new people. Everybody is cordial. And then the fireworks are really nice. And they end up trying to, like, beat 1 year from the next year. And they were spectacular.
Nice, nice sell there, Joan. So hold on, we have a third call coming in right now. We're going to take on the fly here. So Kathy, so we have Joan holding. Kathy is, again, give us your neighborhood, Evergreen Park, you said?
Correct.
Okay. And Joan, Dave, you recall, was it Oak Park, I believe?
Oak Forest.
Oak Forest. All right, so there's our two, and then we have a third caller coming in. So out of those two, let's see, I'm going to put, can you put everybody on hold there, Dave? Sorry, Dave's working the phone lines, answering phone calls, the whole nine. He's like an octopus over there. He's phenomenal. I don't know. How are we going to decide this, Dave? I think I'm going to leave this up to you. I can't be the bad guy here.
You know, what if we just give each one a Illuminati certificate?
Boom, there you go. How about that? Problem solved. Congratulations, ladies. You both rock, and so does your fireworks display. I will say, though, I thought Joan's fireworks story was really good, too. And you know what? They both deserve it. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Thank you.
You got it. All right. Dave will get your information and send you off your Illuminati gift certificates.
Not right. I've seen Wisconsin wants to battle it out, but gave out the certificates. But I'm glad they're listening to us out there.
Yeah, Racine, Wisconsin. Love that. Thanks for listening out there. Let's see. And a couple other things going on. Let's see. Chicago Heights has the Chicago Heights Spectacular Fireworks. That's at Bloom High School, North Soccer Field. That's at 101 West 10th Street. I mean, does anybody really just drive around to other people's neighborhoods, or do they kind of just hang out in their own neighborhoods and do that? I mean, it sounds like everyone wants to invite the next town over to come in. I could see, you know, obviously Navy Pier being that destination because it's so grand and so iconic. But I don't know if I'd go over to like Country Club Hills and leave my little town if I'm staying in local. They have a fireworks celebration, speaking of Country Club Hills. It's at the Country Club Hills Theater Campus, and the fireworks start at dusk. You know, I the whole thing with the fireworks and having kids, if you have young kids, it's hard. I mean, we got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they're in bed usually by like 8, 8:30. We'll push them a little bit for the fireworks, but I mean, not past 9, 9:30, it gets crazy time. So I'm wondering if any of these towns have kid-friendly events up until that. Downers Grove does a good one. It's the Downers Grove July 4th fireworks at Ziegfeld Troy Golf Facilities. And that's at 1535 75th Street. They do a great event for the kids as well. Let's see here. Out in Elgin, they do the parade, concert, and fireworks starting at 3:30 p.m. So it's a huge event happening during the day. It goes on until 9 p.m. The fireworks go off. Let's see here. We got tons of lists here. Dave, do we have this up on our WGN page of where the people can pop around and check out some of these festivals? Some are bigger than others. Some are just straight up fireworks at like 9 o'clock. And then you got the Hobart, Indiana Parade. That's a bigger one at the Festival Park at 111 East Old Ridge Drive. That's going on from now until dusk. And let's see, there's tons more. A lot of good stuff out there. It's a 4th of July weekend. Be safe, folks. We're here every Sunday from 1 to 3. You can jump on our website to catch up with the daily happenings with our TV show and all this fun stuff going on in the world. FrankFontana.net is the website. You can visit us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We've got all sorts of fun social media posts. And then, let's see, Dave, you got me, he just handed me this hot sheet of the not-so-fun facts. We're going to try to leave on a good note, Dave, but no, you're going to bring us down. Sparklers accounted for more than 25% of 10,500 fireworks-related trips to the emergency room. Little sparklers. I hand these to my son. Now you're making me second guess it, Dave.
It's a matter of supervising children because obviously they got to learn. It's just like when they're going to heat up anything under a stove or anything.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of supervising and being with them.
What if we just give them some gloves? I'll give them some of my work gloves.
And I think one of the things that everything is no, but tell them why no. Because then they're going to try it on their own.
Good point, Dave. Let's see. Party poppers, they're legal. Hooray. I bought some. I didn't buy some. I got to get some, though. That was on my list to do today. Didn't do it. I'll do it on the way home. Trick noisemakers like booby traps and burglar alarms. I didn't know that was a part of 4th of July. They fall into a category of legit novelty fireworks. Cigarette loads also hidden inside cigarettes may sound like an accident waiting to happen, but they're completely legal. All in all, sounds like it's going to be a fun one. What are you doing, Dave?
Hey, I might go to the Oak Park. I always go to Oak Park to watch the fireworks.
Yeah, that's nice.
Right there in Oak Park. You know, we were covering the story for the newsroom, and you know the firecrackers with purple and red, I believe it is, that they're the hardest to burn.
Purple and red, huh?
Purple, yeah, the different colors, yeah.
Interesting. Purple and red. That's good information, Dave. I'll keep that in mind as I'm watching the purple and red ones go off tonight.